Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Is there a better finish to a game than Anthony Edwards last night? Game-saving, game-ending block. You've seen buzzer beaters before, of course. You've seen game-ending blocks as well. I remember Ginobili on Harden. Have you ever seen a block to win a game where the guy hits his head on the rim? Also last night, maybe the most unstoppable play in the game today. Ending the Celtics night. Jokic to Gordon for that oop. I love that. Let's go around the horn. Were there Celtics fans who thought that was a missed shot? I think there were. They were trying to say that was a shot attempt from Jokic. That's what they do.
No, it was an alley-oop.
That's what they do. Gordon had the putback about a minute earlier. And then last minute, another opportunity for Jason Tatum to put his stamp on a big game and win it. No, didn't fall. And then that alley-oop. Nuggets 115, Celtics 109. Another 30-point triple-double for Jokic. For the C's, a week with a 52-point win over Golden State, a 22-point blown lead loss to Cleveland, and now this loss. They're 0-2 versus the champs. They're 2-5 versus the top four in the West. It's the end of the Tatum MVP conversation, Brian Windhorst told Stephen A. on First Take this morning. I'd like your take on that as well. Bill, was this about how bad Boston and Tatum were, or is that not giving the champs enough credit?
No, this is about how bad Boston and Tatum were. Tatum is out of the MVP race. He can't win it like this. They can't win without him playing any better than that. You know, Tony, he ranks 27th out of 28 qualified shooters in clutch shooting this year, shooting 32% in the clutch.
Wow.
He missed a bad shot yesterday, had two turnovers in transition, was listless around the basket. In the last two games, he's 2-for-14 in the fourth quarter. He's got to show up. When he scores 15 points or less, the Celtics are 0-3. They need Tatum to win the championship. He's not there. I don't know where he is, but he's not there
Courtney
now.
Courtney Cronin?
I don't have him in my MVP mix right now, but that, you know, the whole idea that he's the face of the league, I'm wondering, like, where all this talk came from when it should have very quickly and very in early on been about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, about Giannis Antetokounmpo, and, oh, how about Nikola Jokic? This team had no answer for him in either of their meetings so far this season. He's more physical than they're able to handle. Kristaps Porzingis isn't strong enough to put on him, whether they're single coverage, double coverage, trying to bring Drew Holiday in the stretch, Al Horford in at points. This is going to be a problem if this is the ultimate finals matchup that we see in a couple of months, which it very well may be. But containing Nikola Jokic, who had a triple-double without even attempting a three-pointer last night, Tony, is a big problem for this Boston team.
That's your takeaway, the champs winning over Boston. Harry Lyles Jr., to you.
Yeah, Tony, I want to give the champs their credit. I can't believe we are a Denver Nuggets championship removed, and a lot like what we were doing last year was saying, hey, like, this is why this team lost and not why the Nuggets won. I'm not doing that with this team anymore. They have proven themselves to be the standard. We literally talked about Monday the streak that the Celtics were on and how much they were beating teams by, and I sat here and said, but that team in Denver still exists, and they have their number. They're 2-0 against them this year, 3-1 the last 2 years. Nikola Jokic is averaging 31.3 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists against them. The only team he's scoring better against is the Washington Wizards. So until somebody gets their best better than the Nuggets' best, my confidence is going to lie with that team.
And Pablo Torre.
Yeah, let me just characterize why there has been thirst for Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, Tony, is American. He's an American would-be superstar. I think he is a superstar still. But the names that Courtney mentioned, all those guys, Giannis, Shai, Jokic, these are guys.
What is this, 1950 here? Yes, okay.
But the point is, when it comes to who could be the face of this sport in America, that's the best hope not named Anthony Edwards, who we'll talk about, that we have. And so, look, I want to say this about Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is still really good. This team did just beat the Warriors by 50 last week. The question is, are they as good as the Nuggets? And the answer definitively, head-to-head, is no. And so he's confirmed our priors. All of that is true. It's just that He's just not as good as we
How
need him to be.
How do you consider that stat that Plashkey had early in the show, that he's basically last among high-volume players in the NBA in the clutch?
Under pressure, it has been a problem. 3 years in a row, to Plashkey's point, he's gotten worse in clutch time. That is a problem. It's a real problem for him.
We've been horned. We'll move on. I say again, find me a better finish than Anthony Edwards last night. You can't. What a win for Minnesota. The day they learned they would be without Karl-Anthony Towns for a month, at least. 44 for Edwards to win in Indy, going 18 of 35. Around the horn, Harry Lyles Jr. on that block, that line, that he took 35 shots because Cat wasn't playing, and this upcoming stretch for Edwards and the T-Wolves.
Tony, I mean, it just speaks to the type of player that he is and the superstar that I feel like he is now and that he can still become. And you mentioned Karl-Anthony Towns being out. He has an opportunity to step up and continue to raise his stock in such a way. He's averaging 37 points in the three games that Karl-Anthony Towns is not playing. I know this Timberwolves team is 29 and 26 the last 2 years when Cat isn't in the lineup. But to me, when we look at all of the young players in the NBA, you hear a lot of them say that they looked up to Kobe Bryant. They want to fulfill the Mamba mentality and sort of show that. Anthony Edwards is the one guy who actually even comes close to embodying that. And so when you have this opportunity now in this stretch where we're coming down to the end of the year and you're going to have to meet that, I think it's the perfect opportunity for him to maybe become the next face of the NBA.
Why are we still having a conversation? I don't understand. Go on. All right. Let's put face of the NBA to the side for a second. Pablo Torre, on what's at stake here for the Timberwolves the next week, next month without Towns.
Yes. So they're the number one seed. Karl Towns is the other superstar on this team. Anthony Edwards is the better player right now. So the question is, who's number three? Who's going to step up? Is it Jaden McDaniels? Is it Mike Conley? Those are not names that inspire confidence. What Anthony Edwards is doing, though, in the absence of Cat, Tony, is he's building an actual legend. What he did, he misses a free throw, and he does that in response. That's just one of those things that sticks, right? When we tell the story of this guy, we're going to mention that play because it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in sports, point blank. Now, is there enough for this team if Cat misses more and more and more time where they're still going to contend without their second best player, Karl-Anthony Towns? The answer is no. But right now, Anthony Edwards is going to use this time to build the legend, and that's what this game is.
Go Plashkey.
Yeah, in a weird way, this is actually good for the T-Wolves in the short run. They scored 66 points in the paint last night, their season high. Getting Cat out of there, Cat not taking up the space. A lot of the players have more freedom to play. Nasri played a great game. McDaniels played a great game. And I've been waiting for Ant to show up, and he's been tremendous. And if he's this energized, he can probably carry them through to the first round of the playoffs when they get Cat back.
And Courtney Cronin.
If we're talking about the clutch, Anthony Edwards came through there last night, 11 of their 13 points in the final 5 minutes of that game. And the question of, can they survive without Karl-Anthony Towns, who spends a lot of time over on the three-point line and not necessarily in the paint? Mm-hmm. I think they can. I think they can keep this number one seed for a little bit because they have the potential to own those tiebreakers over the Thunder, over the Clippers, and the Nuggets. The problem is they play the Nuggets three more times this season. Kyle Anderson inserted into the starting lineup, that means the defense is going to get better. An increased role for Naz Reid, something that he's earned and something that he's shown he's capable of handling this season. I think that can lead to them maintaining this, but if he's out more than a month, Cat that is, that's when my concern's going to creep in for this Wolves.
Pablo back in.
I want to make the point, though, too. The ceiling of Anthony Edwards, why it's special, is the defense. The block was a highlight, but Tony, this speaks to a larger all-defensive caliber campaign. If this guy becomes a dude who scores 30 a night and also is one of the best defenders on the perimeter in the league, that is a two-way player who is extraordinarily rare historically, not just among the class of players he's with now.
Harry, you invoked Kobe. I see Jordan, not in the final stat line or anything. I just see Jordan physically. Plashkey, I'll give you the last word here.
Yeah, the one seed is so important for the Timberwolves, for anybody but the Nuggets, to keep it out of the Nuggets, keep it out of that altitude. The one seed is huge. But, Tony, I'll be covering the Lakers-Timberwolves game on Sunday. I can report back to you afterward. Tell you what I think.
Oh, there it is. Oh, you want extra points?
Yeah.
They are on the road. I mean, this next month, they play Denver a few times, three times. They're on the road right now in the middle of a road streak. That block, though, you think of the greatest blocks of all time. Of course, you think of LeBron on Iguodala. That was a minute and change left. You think of Giannis on Ayton in the finals. That was a minute and change left. That one is at the horn.
awesome. Around the horn goes
the back
on.
Of the head of the leaf.
Yeah.
That's what Anthony Edwards says. The back of the head of the leaf, not the face.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Grey Goose.
~75% of what he made him so great in college is not transferable to the NFL. He's not going to be able to do that. He can't do what he did in college 75% of the time and be successful at the NFL level. He needs to get under center. He needs to understand how to throw on time, on platform, from the pocket. If they take him, I would be... you better be under the understanding that you're going to sit him this year.
That's Ryan Leaf on Dan Patrick. And who's he talking about? Caleb Williams. So a former NFL quarterback perspective, a former NFL could be number one pick perspective. He went number two. A quarterback who couldn't duplicate success he had in college perspective from Leaf there. Courtney Cronin, you're on the Caleb Williams beat now with Chicago drafting one. How'd you hear that?
Dare I say measured? In Ryan Leaf's comments about Caleb Williams, I respect it. He's a former NFL quarterback. You can think whatever you want about his career, but he brings up some valid points that the Chicago Bears or any team that drafts Caleb Williams is going to have to work through. Fortunately, Shane Waldron, new offensive coordinator in Chicago, over 3 years as the OC in Seattle, he ranked 15th in plays that were called from under center, 13th in play action usage, so that should bode well for a Caleb Williams if he ends up in Chicago. And frankly, I'm happy that Ryan Leaf kept it to football and not just regurgitating this game of NFL draft talk telephone, which we heard from Taylor Lewan's podcast, where he's throwing out that Caleb Williams basically just went to the NFL Combine for free gear and interviews. Like, taking shots at the guy's character right now, if you're doing that, that's a red flag more than anything else when you're talking about what he can do on or off.
So you appreciated the analysis of what it would take from college to a pro level that you heard from Leaf, but no pause on Caleb Williams, the player, and the Bears' position at number one, it sounds like. Plaschke, you covered Williams every home game at USC. How'd you hear this?
I get so tired of all this, people nitpicking him. I wish everybody would just shut up and let the kid get drafted and watch him shine. He's the best NFL-ready quarterback since Andrew Luck. Yes, of course he has to learn something. Of course he's going to learn something at a pro level. Of course he has to get better. Of course he has to adjust. But I think people are biased against him because they think he's entitled and arrogant and calculating. He's all those things, but he's also a great quarterback. And he's also NFL. He's basically been an NFL quarterback for 2 years out here. He's been treated like that. He's been ripped in the media. He's been booed by the fans. He's been cheered by the, you know, he's gone through it all out here. He's ready for the league. He's ready to start now.
Pablo Torre.
It's just funny to me that, and by the way, there is some measured analysis in this, right? Is he doing the thing where he breaks down a play and scrambles around and does a Patrick Mahomes impression too much? Is that a valid concern? Sure. with the very basic premise that that kind of guy is a concern in general feels to me like an argument from 5 years ago. So is this a matter of degree or is this a matter of category? Because the guy who can scramble around when the play breaks down, make plays off platform, that's literally the entirety of the sport that I've been seeing for like half a decade now. So the guy who can do that the best since Mahomes is absolutely the guy I want number one overall. Is he gonna do that when it's unnecessary? Fair point. But the category of this sort of player, the style, this is exactly who I want.
Yeah, the part about the 75% not translating to the NFL, I mean, the comparison that we have for him is the greatest quarterback that any of us have ever seen. And the reason a lot of his stuff is improvised is because USC was not known for having a great offensive line last year. So to me, that would only instill confidence that if you can put a competent line in front of him, that it's only going to make him better. I think they're fair critiques, again, of Caleb Williams. But again, we're talking about, to Plaschke's point, one of the most complete prospects at the quarterback position that we've seen since Andrew Luck. So for me, I personally am not as so into nitpicking what he is as a player because it's what the modern NFL needs.
Harry, we've had this conversation, I think, off air before, right? Covering this sport. This season right now is all about nitpicking when the season previously of the football playing, it's all, wow, look what they can do. It's almost like a need to nitpick now. When maybe that shouldn't be the need, right? Maybe you can focus on the whole lot of good.
It's good for business.
This next story is from Kansas City. Kind of stopped me in my tracks. I want your view of it. Fox 4 KC reporting that a local hospital is saying fans were treated after the KC playoff game for cold weather injuries, and now several may need amputations. This is a side of a conversation we had before the game that you often don't consider after the game. It was minus 30 wind chill. The game went on. And then people say, oh, it was good. It was a great game. And then a championship title run. They overcame another hill. Fans are losing body parts, Harry. Does that make you think, rethink, how the league should handle cold weather games?
Hold on, Tony. Let me think long and hard about this. Yes. What are we talking about? It's one thing for it to be a concern for the players and their health and the people that are watching this game. But let's even throw that away, right? If you want the best quality of product out there on the field, we don't have to pretend that we're all tough guys and to do this in temperatures that are going to make you lose limbs. So yes, the NFL should want to get rid of this or to at least play the game in conditions that are not just going to make players and fans safer, but it's also going to be a better game.
Yeah, it speaks to the question of whether this is a TV product or also something people experience in real life. When I play Madden, love to put snow on maximum. Super interesting, even beautiful. Would I ever want to go there in person? Absolutely not. So what it boils down to, Tony, this is kind of like an NFL metaphor for the NFL. Here's a list of risks, medical dangers. Do you want to sign up for this knowing that you might get hurt? Me, no. Lots of other people, it seems.
It seems, right? You may have fans that say, I would do it again. I understand that. The idea that these people have free will is, of course, self-evident. But Bill Plaschke, hearing that headline, several amputations coming because of going to this football game, how should the NFL feel about that?
That's absolutely terrifying. Just terrifying to see that. It's awful. But the NFL, what can they do? Wait till it gets warm? There's only been six games below zero in NFL history. Not enough games to make it that warrant that kind of danger. Fans need to be smart. If it's that cold, don't go to the game.
Gordy Cronin.
The NFL doesn't have a temperature threshold where they cancel games because it got below a certain degree. And I know that we like the images of people shirtless with beer cans in insane temperatures, or Bud Grant walking out to the coin toss in the 2017 NFC wildcard game in a t-shirt. But you got to be smart about this. I'm with Bill. It's on the people to make sure if you're at this game, make sure you are covered up and in winter appropriate
gear. The NFL did postpone a game that weekend. It wasn't the game we're speaking of with this.
Due to snow.
Right. It was due to the governor of New York saying, you know, we need to have everybody moving the snow out and safe travel. But that happens as well. They have postponed games before. We'll move on. Golden State losing to the Bulls last night. Here's buy or sell three. Steph Curry was limping after the game. Anthony Slater, covering for The Athletic, described a delay in opening up the locker room, presumably to clear Curry out of there. And then he said Golden State players, or team in general, were talking that they expect Curry to miss time. Pablo, what you buy, what you sell?
I buy that Steph Curry ankle used to be the three most dangerous words in the Bay Area, Tony. I'm old enough to remember when his ankles were the thing that almost changed the entirety of NBA history. So yes, he solved it by and large, the injury issues, but if the ankle thing is back, yeah, I'm terrified. This is an enormous problem, existential problem for that.
Yeah, Tony, I'm buying Steve Kerr is about to earn that contract extension because the mixing and matching he is going to do if he's going to be out for an extended period of time is going to be a lot. He's averaging 33 minutes and 20 shots per game. That's his fourth highest of his career. It's going to be a different look Warriors, which could be for a while.
I'm buying that they need to follow the same path they did 2 years ago when he got injured in March against the Celtics. Have him come back for maybe the final 10 games of the regular season. And then for that playoff push, they need him healthy if they're going to make a run.
They're 0-3 without Curry. CP3 is minus 12 when he takes his place. They're in trouble. You're in trouble, Golden State. You're not going to pass the Lakers.
I'll tell you what trouble was, Bill. You were in trouble when the horn sounded before you even got into your answer.
But I had a good argument.
You were quick, but not quick enough. That's it for Bill. That's it for Harry. Cronin, Torrey, showdown next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Cam Talbot's incredible save last night. Look at this. This came when the Kings were down. They would go on, play overtime, win by one. So that's how huge that was. And he's the goalie who has Ron Burgundy Anchorman on his helmet. Pablo, what's the best part?
The best part is that at one point in that play, no part of him is touching the ice, Tony. This is a one-score game when it happened. He goes full horizontal. It's the angle, the mathematical angle, 180 degrees, that guy, against that ice.
Courtney?
Defying physics is pretty cool, and the robbery of that goal was awesome, but I feel bad for the people right behind the glass because I'm not so sure from that angle they were able to see that magic in real time.
Points going to Pablo. There were people who weren't just behind the glass. They were too high to see. One of them was MC Plaschke, who's got to get her father to get her better tickets. Oh, Plaschke's getting a view. All right. Oh, all right. We'll move on. Go to Sedano if you need good tickets, Plaschke. We'll move on. 1 week till Selection Sunday. We got some great games this weekend to wrap up the regular season. UNC Duke, Kentucky, Tennessee, Kansas at Houston. Courtney, what's the one thing you're most sure of?
I'm most sure that this Houston team's not going to look like it did the last time they played against Houston. They're number one in just about every single metric. They've turned the ball over on fewer than 12% of their possessions. Jamal Shedd's an All-American caliber player. This team is walking away with a dub.
What I am most sure is that I got to go off the board here, Tony, because I am sure that Caitlin Clark's college career is coming to a close. She and Iowa play Penn State tonight. That's still must-see TV until proven otherwise. So, yeah, give me that game. Do apology to, you know, Carolina and Duke and Houston and all
that. Pablo ordering off menu.
Caitlin Clark.
Whole choice, sir.
Yes.
Enough for the win. 30 seconds of FaceTime.
I feel morally obligated to talk about Ben Simmons here. Tony, I have been the number one Ben Simmons apologist on ESPN for years. I think it's safe to say I now wear that title with shame. But also still with some empathy. The guy is now out for the rest of the season, but people may not realize he was a third-team All-NBA player 3 seasons ago. He was an All-Star multiple times. He is somebody whose career has come undone because of many things, but injury is absolutely one of them. This is a back thing. Is it a mind thing? Is it everything at the same time? I think lots of things are true. But for me, the story isn't over yet. I want to see him back on the floor, even though I'm the only one left wanting to do that.
Real quick, Zuri Mitten and the Night Wolves playing a big basketball game this week, and everybody give me a howl.